This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Full Variety Hour in the search box, or become our friend on Facebook. Stay tuned now for an update on the elections in Iran.
Pride Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Eric Cascadia is off today. Instead, Parafaggering is here with guest Moji Aga, commenting on the results of this weekend's Iranian elections.
Well, good morning. This is Parafaggering, and my guest is Moji Aga, who is an Iranian-American cultural psychologist, and he is the founder of the Mossadegh Legacy Institute, and he is a peace activist, and he's been on a tour of the promoting the legacy of former Prime Minister Mossadegh of Iran, who was overthrown 60 years ago. So, Moji Aga, welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Well, this is a very important election that they had in Iran. So Hassan Rouhani, yes, I see it written in different ways. Hassan Rouhani won this election, and he has been portrayed as the most moderate of the six candidates who are allowed to run.
He certainly is the most moderate of the six. Mm-hmm. He is representing a trend within the post-revolutionary governance in Iran that is taking the general direction of the revolution away from revolutionary rhetoric toward a grounded, democratic, indigenous moderation. So it's a very good development that the so-called supreme leader has finally saw the wisdom of, allowing the people's vote to be counted.
Yeah, some people wonder whether this is sort of set up from the beginning, but at some point in this election, Khamenei had a sort of realized that the right path to go.
He lost a golden opportunity in 2009. After the generals, the certain commanders of the Revolutionary Guards and the commanders of the intelligence services, when they stole the vote, Khamenei had a choice at that time to say, this election was rigged, I am for the people, So he missed that opportunity mm-hmm. 4 years ago. I am hoping that he may have seen the light in this case, and he may have decided to allow or to not stand in the way of the people's vote from being counted.
Because one British observer said if he wanted to, they could have fixed the vote so that it was a runoff, and then they could have gotten their conservative guy in there.
That's one of the indications that mm-hmm. when I looked at the unfolding news in the way I am analyzing it, they have so many opportunities to they disqualified former President Hashemi Rafsanjani. So I am assuming that there were the Khamenei's bait, as they call it, or his house of leadership. They were two of two minds. One was to continue the path of the coup of 2009 coup against the Green Movement. The other one was to learn the lesson of history and to not stand in the way of the people's vote. Very significantly, Ayatollah Khamenei had a speech 3 days ago mm-hmm. in which, for the first time, he talked the phrase, the Quranic phrase, the right of the people. In this particular Quranic verse, God says, or Allah says, you know, that I can forgive trespasses against myself, but I can't forgive trespasses against the rights of the people. Now, that word, haqqun nas, or rights of the people, has been, the people who are reformists have been using that as a way of trying to say Islam and democracy are not incompatible. This was the first time that Khamenei used that term, and that's a very significant development.
One thing I'm wondering about is how the U.S. will respond to this. Benjamin Netanyahu has come out saying that, now is the time to increase the sanctions. And will the U.S. go along with it? Will they reciprocate? You know,
Well, I hope that in this country, the neocons do not prevail in this case. In this country, during the Khatami's time, this is the Rouhani's election is reminiscent of President Khatami's election.
Who preceded Ahmadinejad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the Israeli, the Zionist pressure caused the U.S. foreign policy to sabotage Khatami and the democratic development of Iran in the same way that in 1953, the military-industrial complex overthrew Dr. Mohammad Mossadegh.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the U.S. is at a juncture where it has a choice to make, mm-hmm. whether to go along with the rights of the people in Iran or to stand in front of it, which is the same thing as Khamenei, a choice that the Khamenei and the people behind the coup in 2009, they had that choice. U.S. and Israel have that choice also.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are some people who think that Ahmadinejad was a perfect foil for the U.S. and Israel, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Ahmadinejad, whether he realized or not, and Jalili, who I am so happy that got trounced so profoundly in this election, that was a kind of representation of a trend within the quote-unquote Islamic thought that says the rights of the people are not important because this is a government of God on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that that trend, that discourse got soundly defeated in this election, which is the choice before Khamenei, whether he would go along with that kind of an extremist, violent interpretation, or he would move toward a democratic, nonviolent path.
It was sort of seen from the election results that Rouhani got a lot of support in the countryside, where before it was said that Ahmadinejad had support in the countryside, but not in the city of Tehran.
Yes, well, I never believed that populist rhetoric that, oh yeah, this is the Green Movement and the desire for the citizenship rights is just an upper class. They were playing class warfare. I never believed that rhetoric. It was a populist coup. I mean, it was a coup that was being justified by populist rhetoric. And in 2009, they essentially didn't count the votes. They didn't bother to count the vote because they decided to bring Ahmadinejad second term, because they, in 2005, when they had him as the quote-unquote winner of that partially rigged election, they said, wow, finally we consolidated power, and we want to keep it that way. So right now, Khamenei may have seen, I am hoping that he may have seen that for the sake of his own rule, that it is not good to trust the people with the gun. Instead, legitimacy of his rule even should come from we the people.
Well, let's hope everybody has that wisdom. Do you want to venture any kind of guess what happens next?
Thank you. I hope, again, one can hope at this point that the Khamenei, the so-called supreme leader, the U.S., and most importantly, Israel, do not stand in the way of development of democracy and nonviolence inside Iran, like they did 60 years ago when they overthrew Mossadegh, or now, or when they sabotaged their reformist movement at the President Khatami's election.
Okay, this is Per Fager. We've been talking with Moji Aga, who is the founder of the Mossadegh Legacy Institute, who's been on a tour of this country promoting the Mossadegh legacy. And thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. The full name of this tour is called Mossadegh Awareness Begets Sanity in Foreign Policy.
And where do you go next with this tour?
On the day after tomorrow at 7 p.m. in Seattle at the University District's Methodist Church is the Seattle gathering of this tour.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for being with us. And now stay tuned for Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein.
Thank you.
Wisdom of the Elders is committed to Native American cultural sustainability, multimedia education, and race conciliation.
I'm glad I didn't get too nervous.
It especially seeks to correct misconceptions and prejudice, to bring health and wellness to Native people, and demonstrate how Indian culture has and is continuing to enrich our worlds. An Evening with Wisdom of the Elders, its second annual gala, is planned for Friday, June 21st, at 6:30 p.m. in the Rose Ballroom of the Ainsworth Event Center in Southwest Portland. The featured guest and keynote speaker will be Deanna D. Dart, Ph.D., Curator of Native American Art at the Portland Art Museum. Cedar Rose will perform a collaborative musical effort that focuses on traditional and contemporary Native American sounds formed by Karen Kitchen and Nico Wind. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale.
You can hear me?
Hosting
oh, there we are.
There
I am.
Annual anniversary celebration, June 14th through June 23rd. specializing in 100% natural fiber clothing. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont, and at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com or fullcircleresaleportland.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. The biotechnology industry says it has genetically engineered a fish that grows at twice the normal rate so it can get to market sooner and make more money, faster. If approved, GE salmon would be the first transgenic animal allowed into our food supply. It's also unlikely that it would have to be labeled, so you might not even know you're eating it. How imminent is the arrival of genetically engineered salmon on our plates? This morning, we talk with Julia DeGraw, Northwest organizer for Food and Water Watch, one of the several organizations closely monitoring and protesting approval of GE salmon by the FDA. Julia, welcome back to Locus Focus.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about genetically modified wheat lately here in Oregon and the rogue wheat that's been growing out in eastern Oregon, or was growing. And that is alarming to people because it's maybe an indication of how genetically modified plants can spread without us really intending for that to happen. What do you think is comparable with the concerns about genetically modified salmon? How does that compare with genetically modified plants? And how, in many ways, do you feel like it might be a step into a greater unknown?
Well, if they actually approve a genetically engineered salmon for human cons-